Father, we thank you again for the songs that have been sung, and dear Lord, for this precious book, the Holy Word of God, we open in the Sunday school hour and this hour now in the worship service. Lord, we believe this is the absolute Word of God, and we believe, Father, enough to not just talk about it, but to talk from it. And we know on these premises today, from every class, from every church that's going on now on these premises, Lord, this book will be taught as best we know how, in the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. We pray that you'd honor yourself. Holy Spirit, help us be the vessel that you may have at absolute reign to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. May this be a time not wasted, because again, the greatest commodity we have is our time. And the Lord, that time is our life. And we must be invested in that which would be best for life. And we pray their time today would be invested to help them in life, and help us all in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, please, and turn, first of all, to Luke chapter 2. Turn to Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 11 through 14, and then we're going to go to Mark 9. Then I'll give you the topic of the message. In Luke chapter 2, down in verse 11, we know these verses almost by heart, but the eyes may see the Word of God as we read it. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Now, if you will, look with me in Mark chapter 9, and I want to read down about verse 21. Let me give an introduction to that. This is when Jesus was he'd been about a little over 2 years into his ministry. He's up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John are there with him. And while they're up on the mount, the disciples down in the valley, and they are approached by a group of people. And, of course, we know that the scribes were there at this time, but there's also a man that was there that had a son. And according to verse 17 and verse 25, the son had a deaf spirit, and also he was dumb. That is, he could not speak. And of course, when Jesus came down, the multitude came to him. He saw them question him. And verse 17 says, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, when Jesus said, what question ye with him? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee a son, or my son, and he hath a dumb spirit. Verse 25 also says, he's deaf. And he said, whosoever he taketh him, he teareth him, that this spirit does this to his son. He foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Now, they had power. They had cast others out, but this one they could not cast out. And so he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, that is, when this person saw Christ, and the spirit in the young man saw him, he said, when he saw him, straightway the spirit teared him and fell on the ground. He fell on the ground and started foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And he explained, oftentimes it's cast him to the fire and to the water to destroy him. But watch the little word if, I-F. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, he's already seen the disciples who were the followers of Jesus Christ. He knew that they would have had some power that couldn't do this. So here he says to Christ, if thou can, why? Because the disciples couldn't help him. And when he came to Christ, he didn't know whether Christ would help him or not. He said, if thou, notice again, he said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now watch what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. Now wait a minute. It's not if Christ can. Christ can. You hear what I'm saying? If thou can have compassion, help us, then please help us. And then Jesus said, if thou canst believe, not that Christ can't help him, but if thou canst believe, and look at that little word if again, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say something here that may not go across some people listening to radio and also upstream. He didn't say all things will happen. All things are necessary to come to pass. All things are given. He says all things are possible. That is, God left it open here. Somebody say, well, if you don't have the faith like you should, then God's not going to do something. That's not what he said here. He said it's possible whether you have the faith or not have the faith. Having the faith generates some things for the Lord, and God would answer that. But every time, it's not God's will for things to happen, in spite of what some of the people in this world may say. Now, that helps me to understand. When you and I go to the Lord sometimes, and we pray for things from a desire of the flesh, and suddenly it doesn't happen, then somebody comes and say, you don't have enough faith? Don't hand me that. I believe God can do anything I ask him. I believe there's nothing impossible with him. But he said, if thou canst believe all things, I know this, no matter what I ask God, it's possible for him to do it. No matter what I ask the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ, it is possible for him to do it. But it's not necessary every time he will do it. Now, there's some things God knows I don't know. I thank God for a father who cares about me enough to cut me off if I ask something foolish that may hinder my life for the Lord later. Because we just don't know everything from the beginning. But I like this. He said, if I believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway, he said, the father of this child cried out. I love this. And he said with tears, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I don't think nobody that we know of had as much faith as this guy had at this time. But he had seen that God doesn't do everything like we ask sometimes. And he said, I believe. As far as I know in my faith, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Boy, we have to ask that a lot. We ask God to do something. I've seen him answer prayer for the last 53 years in more ways than one. But there's been times that he didn't answer like I and families had prayed for. But yet he did answer, because for God's child, anything God does is right for us. You see, the best thing in the world he wants is, he had pressure in his sight, the death of his saints. He wants us with him. So death is a stepping stone for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But yet it hurts us when it happened here. But why is it that I'm using these? These don't even go together. They don't look comparable to each other, do they? But they do if you look at the little word F. I-F. If. I said if. If. Okay? Now, my topic of the message today is simply this. What if Christ had not been born? What if Christ had not come? Ladies and gentlemen, we'd been a mess. You're talking about a mess now we're in. God didn't cause the mess we're in now. We've caused the mess we're in now. This country of ours and many across this world. But what if Christ had not come? You see, it's interesting to see how many times the little word F is used in the Bible. That is if. I should say if. I keep saying F because it ends with F. Amen. But how many times the word if is used in the Bible? Many times. In fact, if you look in Mark 1:40, you'll see the leper said, if thy will, thou canst cleanse me. If you look also in John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up. And you see in John 14, 3, Jesus said, if I go away, I'll prepare a place for you. I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. You see in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17 and 18, Paul said, if Christ be risen, if Christ be not risen from the dead, he said, then our faith is in vain. If Christ be not risen from the dead, he says, the dead are perished. Isn't that something? If Christ did not come and die and raise to the dead, all of those who have died from Abraham's day to our day will never be seen again. There's nothing after life. If Christ did not, as what God promised for those who would trust Christ as Savior. The dead, he said, have perished again. If in this life only, he said in verse 19, that we have hope, he said, then we are all men most miserable. If we can only have hope here, if only what God has done for us here, Paul says, as men, we're all men most miserable. If is everywhere. If you had not a married, who'd you marry? Wonder why and who you would have married. If is everywhere as far as life is concerned. See, if is supposing that. It also means since being surprised. If I had did this, wonder what this would do. Or boy, if I'd have known that's going to happen, I wouldn't have done this. If it's a thing setting for surprise, or it sets for speculation, or a conflict, or a condition that takes place in life, and it brings about an understanding, or at least trying to reason about that particular thing. I propose to you this morning that if Christ had not died, had not been born, he could not have died, and if Christ had not come, we'd be in terrible shape we are now. What is there about the season that casts a mental spell over us and finds us all in the mood where meanness is out of place at this time of year? When we come what is known as Christmas, and we know that most of the celebration that we know of is the birth of Christ, coming into this world. On the other hand, there are many who celebrate Christmas across the world today. Christ won't even be part of it at all, because it was a pagan holiday to start with, but the Christians have brought it in for the purpose of worshiping God. And by the way, you've heard me say there's nothing wrong with that either, for us worshiping God on that day where someone said, well, was made by pagan. Not for us, it's not. And there's a day, and we celebrate that. And by the way, I've said before, and I'll say again, I guess about any day we'd try to celebrate would be a pagan holiday for somebody else. So no matter what day we may pick out in life. But what about this season where we're in now? If meanness is out, seems to be out of place. Here, helping others is in place, and people, the meanness of a dog, will do something for other people. There's an atmosphere in this time of year that's just hard to explain outside of who Jesus Christ is. It's a time of year when even rudeness sometimes will be out, and that which is to try to help and bless people is in. It's a time when selfishness seems to be outlawed, where kindness with the giving of gifts is the order of the day. Can you imagine when you think about when Christ was born in Luke 2? See those exalted beings in that celestial world called angels coming down from the amazing courts of God Almighty, singing, and a multitude joined them before a group of humble shepherds, according to Luke 2, verse 3 through 14. And they were singing, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. What about this time that we see this wonderful atmosphere that engulfs the people's hearts, even those who are not saved and moved by this giving spirit? In fact, sometimes more so generous than those who are saved. There is something here that is a blessing in this age, of this time. And of course, we know it's the Holy Spirit trying to move in people's hearts, and those who are saved, he does move, and it affects others who may not have the Holy Spirit of God. And you don't have him unless you're saved. When the Old Testament closed, God is directing men to look towards heaven for hope. You look in Psalms 19, verse 1 and 2, Psalms 8, verse 3 through 6, and verse 9. He teaches to look towards the heavens, for that is where our hope comes from at this time. But someone said, but wait a minute, you know, a man has been watching the heaven for the wrong reason. And that's true. Even people today are watching the heavens for the wrong reason. God teaches to watch for it, but they're watching for it for the wrong reasons in our day. When the Old Testament closes, God directs us there, and you see in the book of Malachi. But they're looking not to see God. We're looking now to protrude into heaven. Everybody goes up there just about, comes back, so I didn't see God. Never forget the Russian astronaut that said when he was up there, he didn't see God anywhere. I said, bless God, if he'd stepped out of that capsule, he'd see him in a minute, I'll tell you that. But he said he didn't see God. And others have said they didn't see God. Well, you're not going to see God like that unless you do meet him face to face in that other world. But you want to see the hand of God. You want to see what God can do when he talks about forming the heavens and the earth. They're looking for a place to go. They're looking for something better than what is in this money-mad, materialistic world. In the flesh, he looks for new land and fields for the flesh. The only thing that we spend money and space for is to try to find out what's there, and hopefully some place that we can go and live one day. In the Old Testament, the curtain fell down with a frightened thud. At the end of Malachi, we see that. For 400 years from Malachi to Matthew, the darkness in Sodom was on this earth. God didn't enlighten this earth one bit for 400 years. He didn't give any information to this earth for 400 years. He closed it out with Malachi, and he picked it up in Matthew, when it was time for Jesus Christ to come. 400 years of darkness and silence. When the light of the Old Testament went out, sin was sweeping over the world like a tidal wave. And it, when time Christ came along the scene, it looked like a time that were it be impossible for him to do what he had to do. And to the world, it still looked like it was an impossible task. But in God's mind, that's the way he decided to do it. They don't realize he's not just a man. He's the Lamb of God. And he's the one that taketh away the sin of the world. In Malachi 4, verse 6, he said, "Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, unless we look towards the heavens." The Old Testament comes to a conclusion, you see. There is no solution for sin if you stop at the Old Testament. Listen, the Old Testament system and the Leviticus system only cover sin. It can only atone sin. It didn't take a sin away. And Hebrews tells us that. Blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. It takes something beyond that. So they look towards the heaven, and if it closes the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen, there's no solution for sin. There's no solution for sorrow. There's no solution for the curse that's on this earth. Unless we look towards the heaven, we have no answers. But thank God, he promised a sunrise at the end of a dark night, and that came at the end of the 400 years. And he said sunrise. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 says the sun. And watch this. It is not the S-O-N. It's the S-U-N. It says in Malachi in prophecy that the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness, arises with a healing in his wings. Even though it did not use S-O-N, and it used sun as we look at our sun, it referred to the sun of righteousness, sun, S-U-N, and healing in his wings. So the S-U-N is representing something about the one who should come, who is the Son of God. And it's obvious, you see, Malachi refers to Jesus as the Son of Righteousness, arising with healing in his wings. That is, there's joy after a dark night of trouble for 400 years. God's Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, brings light into this world. For John 8:12 says, he is the light of the world. And ladies and gentlemen, his light is so great. When you get to that Jerusalem in the book of Revelation, you find we won't need the S-U-N, because the S-O-N, light, which is the Shekinah glory of God, will shine forever. We'll never have to have the S-U-N again. He's the light of this world. And he wants to reveal himself to us, and that's what he'd give us as the church. He'd give us the indictment or the responsibility to do that. In the New Testament, he is the bright and morning star in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. In the Old Testament, there's the expectation of him coming. In the New Testament, there's the realization that he came. In the age of grace, since Jesus came and died and went back to the Father, there's the expectation to the church of the born-again believers of the time that he's coming again. But very soon, shortly, there's going to be a realization that he has come. Just as sure as he came the first time, he'll come the second time. The story of the virgin birth and the Savior coming in the world is a sweet, true story. And yet it's amazing today, man denies that story. They'd rather believe the lie of Santa Claus. They'd rather teach their children the lie of Santa Claus and forbid the name of Christ to be mentioned in their home. God help us as human beings. The lie of Santa Claus does not upset the world. There's no protesting around in school, out of school, when you mention Santa Claus's name, but you mention Jesus Christ's name. And they'll expel you if you don't hush. You see, isn't it amazing how Satan can get an upper hand in evil people's heart, and it looks like they're winning, but they're not going to win. They're not going to win. By the way, I've got news for this world. He's going to rule in this world one day, and we're going to rule with him. This is true from the Word of God. We know that's for sure in this particular life. Thank God for that. You mentioned Jesus' name. His name is above every name. There's coming a day. Hey, no one's going to ever bow down at Santa Claus's name, but they're going to bow down at Christ's name one day. Philippians teaches us they're going to call him by name. They're going to tell who he is just for the glory of God. They're going to confess his name before the whole human race, before the universe, that he's who he said he was. For those who don't do it now, he won't help them then. Thank God I've done that, and I hope you have. I recognize. So four quick things, and we'll go home. What if Christ had not been born? Four things. What if Christ had not been born? If not, all God's promises about coming Redeemer would have been a lie, or would have not been true, or he would have broke his promise and broke it. And God doesn't do that. The hope of all the ages would have been blasted. Human beings existed would have been no more than a beast. Because there had been no hope. Ephesians 2, verse 12 through 13 teaches us that we're without hope. that we're without God, that we are alienated from God. But he tells us about Jesus Christ. In him we have that which we cannot have in our own self. What if Christ had not been born? Number two, we would have not known the real character of God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 9, when you see me, you see the Father. Everything we see about Christ, you say, but I've not seen him. I had with the physical eyes, but I have records of some who did. And I have a record of what God says about him. Through eyes of faith, I can see him. I know that he's who he said he really was. Jesus, the perfect revelation of God in human form. Jesus incarnated himself in the form of a body and laid himself at the doors of this world through the Virgin Birth Mary. His cry awoke an echo in human's heart. His word became the morality and the faith and the greatness of man in this life. It was not, listen, not only was God born in this world physically, but God provided a way for himself to be born in our hearts spiritually. And that's what's a wonderful thing. God came physically so he could fulfill what God had asked man to do. And thank God, when he had finished his task, he died the sacrifice. God himself said he was pleased with his son. And he offers that to you and I in the age of grace, even 2,000 years later. He is our wonderful alternate for Satan himself. Because Satan is everything that God is not. And God is everything that Satan is not. Satan is opposite of God, and God is opposite of Satan. Not only is Christ not what if he had not been born, We would be without hope and as others in this world. I read back the history of Duke of Hamilton. Duke of Hamilton was a dying Christian. He had made a faith in Jesus Christ. Came time for him to die. He called his younger brother and said to him, whose name was Douglas. And he said this, and I quote, right before he died. He said, now Douglas, in a little while you're going to be taking my place as Duke of Hamilton. But I've got news for you. Before you ever become a duke, I'll be a king sent by my Lord. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now, this is a high-ranking person that said that. A lot of people would say, hey, nobody in high-ranking does much. They got more sense. I'm glad that some people, no matter what position are, may not have enough sense in the world. We got enough sense to believe God, aren't you? Amen. Thank God for that in this life. He gave hope for us, for he is our hope. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Though the charm of that word hope, it's not like the world. If I say, I hope I'd get home this afternoon, it'd be like, well, I might not get there. But when you hope in Christ, that's a realization that's going to happen. He is our hope, and therefore not this world as we live in. Hope whispers to the suffering one at the time that they're depressed or that they are in a situation of life. Here this morning, people had cancer and what's happening to them and how there's some people started these places where if a person had terminal cancer, they pick out, according to doctors, you might have saw that, special, pick out for doctor, and they would give them a desire, a whole family, to be together for a week somewhere or another. And it showed different places they went. And one particular family had two little girls. A guy 40-something years old had terminal cancer. They said, there's no way he can live unless there's intervening. And they sent him off together, and he didn't want to go to start, but he finally went. And his wife said they had the best time that week. They didn't know that within a few days later he'd be dead. He said the little girls just enjoyed it so good. They were less than probably 6-7 years old. And she said that when we got back, she said, I wouldn't have thought the very day we got back. She said, I had to put him in the hospital. He didn't live a few days after that. He had a time of his life right before he went to this world. I don't know where he was saved or not. That's him. But only God knows that. But I say to you, it's wonderful people have compassion on people who are suffering. And our hope is to deliver from that type of suffering. It's a time, it whispers to our heart when we're hurting, when there seem to be no hope. It says there is hope. Always tells us everything's all right in the house of God. I'll tell you, this world can't do enough to dethrone. Satan's tried it so many times, and he's failed every time. In fact, one time God kicked him out of heaven because he tried to do it. He has access to him in some places, but at the same time, he's defeated. He's the peace. He's our deliverance in this particular life. I'm talking about if Jesus had not been born, what would have took place? Without Jesus Christ, our hope would be completely destroyed. The Christianity would be a shamble. There'd be nothing to it. Those who have fallen in death will be perished. Paul said, we're all men most miserable. So if Christ had not been born, his promise would have not been true. If he had not been born, he would not have shown us. We have not known the character of God. If Jesus Christ had not been born, we would be without hope. If Christ had not been born, well, wait a minute, no preacher, he was born. We got good news. Now, hey, we're not suspecting that now. We're not just looking at it on the basis of, not really being able to know the possibility we might have been slipped a lie. No, he has been born. He said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, "Lo, I come to do thy will, God, in the book." He says that he's willing to come. He did come. He did die. He was buried. Hey, death couldn't hold him. He rose the third day. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father helping this poor preacher today, best of my own way, my vocabulary from Johnson County here, talk way back in the books. And sometimes people have to listen twice before they know what I even say. But I'm glad to know this. God's still using us. Folks, if anybody can do it, if I can do it, you can do it. If I can witness, you can witness. I guarantee you your vocabulary is much better than mine. I guarantee you can talk to people I could not even talk to. And then we say we can't do it. Don't get in the valley and think that God has not given us an exemption that we don't have to witness for the Lord anymore. We do. Because that great commission that God has given to us has not been taken away at all. If he had not come into this world, he did come, though. He came from the bosom of God in the breast of a woman, Mary. I wondered, and I'm thinking this week, and I thought before, I wonder what the angels felt as they saw him as he began to linger, look back at the way that he left when he came to enter into Mary's womb. I wonder what they thought, seeing, knowing who he was, who they worshiped and gave glory to and praise, and the day in and day out made no difference to them as far as time is concerned. I wonder when they heard him say goodbye to his father's house for the trip to this earth. I wonder when he went from the creator of man, ladies and gentlemen, to the creator himself, to a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He did not come just to save us from temptation, though he will save us from temptation. He did not come just to preach and teach and work miracles, though he can do those things. He did not come, ladies and gentlemen, just to show us how to live a life here that no others can live. And he did that for us that no one else has done. And yet he can do that. These things he did do. But that's not the reason he came. He came, according to what we see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, to save his people. His name was Jesus, to save his people from their sin. He also said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. His main mission of coming to this earth was to seek and save people like you and I. And like the other 7 billion people on this earth. There is no difference as far as God is concerned when he sees the heart. It's evil. It's wicked. And he said, I want to give you a new one. And my son has made a way that can happen. Jesus came that we might have this wonderful life that he says we can have. He had one mission. It is one thing to say, Jesus, Jesus. And you hear a lot of people using his name. It's another thing to say, my Jesus. My means it personal. It's one to sing to say, God, come and help us. But Jesus showed us on Calvary, he can be my God. Because he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm so glad I can, as an individual, understand enough about this book of my peanut mind to know that I can go to God as my God through Jesus Christ. And so can you. He's your Father. Any place, anywhere, anytime, you can go to him in prayer. You don't need a little booth to pray to somebody else through. We have access to him because of who he is. If he had not come, we wouldn't have that access. We would be trusting probably in gods that we make up and therefore be like the rest of the world, end up in the lake of fire for it's over with if they don't trust him as Savior. Why do people try to rob this world of the Christian faith? There is no better faith to give to this world than the Christian faith. Now, I say because I understand this, and I think you do to some degree, let us make him supreme of the day. Not just Christmas, but every day. Because he deserves that. Always give him honor in first place in your life. What if Christ had not been born? All of God's promises would not be true. They'd be lies. We would not have known the real character of God. We would have been without hope. But wait a minute, preacher. God would have found another way. Surely he would have found another way. No, he wouldn't. Why? If he had, Christ would never came. Do you think there's been any other way that God saw in his infinite wisdom could do it? He let his son come and die like he did and be treated like he was. The fact that Jesus Christ came and the fact that God said, this is my beloved son, I'm well pleased, says there's no other way. Do you hear what I said? There is no other way. Jesus Christ is the only way. So therefore, we can't come up with this thing to think, well, we could still be have hope. God could give us hope another way if he had. Hey, do you think he didn't love his son? You think it didn't break God's heart 33 and a half years later after he was saved and see him die on a cross and have to, Jesus, God had to turn his back and his son had to cry out, my God, my God. He was praying my Father in his prayer while he was on the earth. But here at the last moment when he, before he gives up the ghost and he dies, he cries, my God, my God. He's crying for every human being. He cried that so you and I would not have to cry. He'll never leave us where he left his son. What a blessing we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. May he be praised and honored this morning. And let people see him as who he really is in life. Not only would we find ourselves not having hope, but we'd be no more than a high-ranking animal in this life. Instead of being created in God's image, we'd be just like some animal, living with nothing more to do than live and die, and that would be it. Now someone said, well, wait now, preacher. Wait a minute. Even if Christ had not been born, we could still be made in God's image. Oh, is that right? Well, God said it. Oh, let me just put this. This is the way I look at Scripture anyhow. Let's suppose to say, well, let's just suppose that be true. If Christ had not even been born and died, we could be still made in God's image. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me put this to you. If God lied about his son, he may have lied about his image. Let me tell you what, the fact he didn't lie about his son tells me he didn't lie about his image. And the fact the only way we could be part of his image is because what Jesus Christ was doing when that image fell and coming restores back as called as children of God. He did not lie about his son. I thank God Almighty when I look at things in this life and see what the Lord has done. The fact is that Jesus Christ, I think about some things in life. Suppose, as I close, if God had not have saved you, what would be your life? Still like it is now? I thought myself. I think about winning souls. I was saying I saved one soul, but I'll be honest with you, and I thought about this. If God had not have called me to preach, I'm honest before you. If God had not have called me to preach 53 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, I do not know if I would have as great a compassion for lost souls as I do now. I've seen people who start out having, they don't have a bit of compassion. They don't even think about winning by the Lord. Or they'll talk about it. They don't ever try to win by the Lord. They don't sort church. They just, you know, God seems, I don't know what's happening. It seems like in his early years we think we need him, but when we get old, we don't really need him. But God put something in my heart, and I believe he stirs it day by day when it comes that time. I'm so grateful to understand that when you serve him, that compassion and that burden gets deeper. And it gets more and more. I think about my life. Some people say, well, a preacher can do. They start preaching and can't do nothing else. I won't look in a job when God called me to preach. I had a good job. A good job. I'd rose up high in the company. I was doing great. I could have been head of a company either here in some form. I had already had me planned out after 12 years. I wasn't looking at a job. Somebody can put me in that category. But see, they say, all preachers can do is preach. They can't do nothing else. They get out and preach. That's not me. What I'm saying to you, God gives a burden. And for 53 years, it's still there. Amen. I've thought about if what would happen if we hadn't obeyed God in the ministry. I could have had a lot of churches, but God didn't leave me there. Well, what would have happened if we hadn't started and praying about towns and come to the town of Clayton, my wife and I? If God hadn't given us some people in that early first years to start out, where would we be now? If I'd have left like I started to a couple of times because it was so hard, this wouldn't be here. We thought sometime God opened the door and that would be a blessing. But there's a lot of ifs in our lives. But I'll tell you this. If you have an if and you look to the one who's able to supply the need, ladies and gentlemen, he will get you through that every time. I can tell folks now, you can't lose when you serve God. The world may think you are losing and make fun at times when you have hard times, but you'll find out God will bring you over on top. He'll bring you through it when later they have tougher times than you've ever had. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, serving God is not Mickey Mouse stuff. Now think about, oh my, If God hadn't given us the plan for this great buildings here, the fact how to finance it. And I had learned that in years he was training me when I was in an organization. And see how that all these buildings here that we have are debt free. It would not have been that way if God hadn't given the ability to learn and look and pray, trust him about some things and then give you people to do that. You see, ladies and gentlemen, a little word if, you could go back, if. But thank God he brings and breaks through that. And look, there are some people in that day said, but if you do that, you won't be able to do this. I say to you, if we hadn't done that, we wouldn't be on the radio today. We wouldn't own the radio station. We wouldn't have you string. And hopefully the things that God laid in my heart last few weeks and months, he'll give later to do that'll be greater than this. I told you about the event I had the other day. And I'm talking about praying to God in the more early in the morning. I got so, and I asked the Lord to reveal to me, and he didn't ever come. And then 2 days later, I was thinking, Lord, what do I need to do? Lord, I don't want you to go to. What I need to do? God brought it in my mind. He don't speak to me like I'm speaking to you, but he, in the stress of your heart, he said, son, in my mind, he said, son, I didn't bring you here and bring you from nothing to where you're at today for you to leave it all. You can reach more people right now where you're at and anywhere you can go. I didn't give you the radio station. I didn't give you the upstream. I didn't give you the buildings. I didn't give you this place in the town of Clayton, the smallest town, 1,800 people. I didn't give that to you for you to leave it unless I call you home. When you don't have the help to do it, when you don't have the, when you, if I see fit to call you home, that's it. But I want you to know, if you're talking about being somewhere else, you can do more. I don't know anything you can do anymore where you're at right now. But I said, Lord, I used to love to do evangelist work. That was my heart's desire with the music talent and so forth. He said, but what do you want to do? I said, I want to win people because that's my heart. And he showed me right then. If I hadn't been called to preach, I don't know if I'd have that compassion. Because things in this world can take things away from you, folks, if you don't understand what's going on. And I'm so grateful now that those if we had in those years, God gave us another side of it to see that God keeps his word. And this world who looks at him today, I read where Charles Spurgeon preached years ago in a place called Surrey, London, and I'm through. He was at Music Garden in London, England. He was amazed because they prophesied he was going to preach there. He had over 22,000 people to fill that place. And he was elated that many people come preach, hear him preach. Had a great song service, did everything. He got up ready to preach, and when he opened up to start his message, some critics, ungodly person in there cried, fire, 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 coming out from the audience. And the audience panicked. And they tried to get up and run and get out. And he just said, start. Didn't even get a chance to preach. He just started. He said he didn't hit panic in there and run out. And many people were trampled to death. And he got along with God according to his record. And he said, God, I'm not going to preach no more. I'm just not going to preach. If that's what it means for me to go somewhere and preach and suddenly it just anything can happen. People can panic and die. And for weeks went by. And then suddenly he said, within a few weeks, God relit his fire. I love that. He said, all of a sudden, like Jeremiah of old, he felt inside his bones. And from there, that event, he learned something. Did not change the fact that Jesus Christ did come. And he's the one's in charge. And even though something happens at times we don't understand, my wife and I have seen it, we know this, he's still in charge. Ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ had not come, what are we here this morning for? I'll tell you the reason we're here. We know he did come. Amen. We know he did exactly what God the Father said he'd do. Wonderful, lovely name of Jesus. What a lovely name we have. One that you can say and remove the fears of life. One that you can say in the time of pain. And somehow or another, though the pain's there, it feels less. Sweet, wonderful name of Jesus. Aren't you glad he came? And I say to you this morning, I offer him. That's the reason I offer him. Because I know who he is. My life is given to offering people to come to Jesus Christ. And if you'll do that, God will do what he said he'd do for you and I in this life. Our Father, again, please use the message. Jesus Christ did come. He's the author of eternal life. He offers it when he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. My Heavenly Father, I think back. If you hadn't come, then there'd be none of us be here. Dear Father, if you hadn't given us some people like those early days to help, we wouldn't be here today. And yet, if you hadn't given us the people today, we couldn't carry on what's doing. I'm so glad, dear Father, that we look with great expectation of what God can do. Thank you for your people who love you enough to be found faithful. Give some time every week to be in the house of God. And then in the world, give some time for in turn that they can try to say, Lord, here am I. I'm not much. But everything I have, I give to you, my time, my talent, my speaking, what little it can be. Someone can speak better than I. But Lord, if you can make a donkey talk, you can help me. I thank you so much this morning. Help someone who may be at the valley and they got some ifs in their mind. May they remove that because Jesus did come. He did die. And dear Father, on that third day, he did rise again. According to Paul, he said, in the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us today. And our Father, thank you for bringing to my mind that there was a time when one of your choice servants, Stephen, was been stoned by the wickedness of people. We see Jesus Christ. As Stephen said, I looked towards heaven and I saw him, Son of God, standing. Yes, standing, not just sitting. As Stephen went through being stoned. Yes, there's times that God's Son sees how his people have been treated on this earth. And it's not time to come back as of yet because he's long-suffering and not willing that any should perish. And maybe some of God's people get in places where Jesus just doesn't sit to intercede, but he stands and looks over the portals of glory. He understands what we're going through with. He can give us the assurance of that hope in our heart. Please bless someone. Lord, if there's anyone in our church that has a need, and it's a genuine need, please help us know about it just where we can feel it. Help us feel it because you use people to help people. Save the soul nearest hell today. Help some people see that if they're not right, God says, John 1, to the Apostle John, in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please help someone to see it's not if Jesus came, but he did come. In his wonderful name we pray, and for his sake we ask. Amen.